All right, I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting the Executive Water Finance Board to order. And we have the minutes. We actually have minutes from the October 16th meeting as well as the November 2nd meeting that we need to have approved. Board members have time to review the minutes.
I neglected to send them. Right. October 1st again.
Yeah, and I just remember those. Yeah. Ones. Is that the right one, Laura?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I move to approve the minutes.
Okay. So from the October 16th, November 2nd meetings, any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. And I should have known before, John Bronson's excused that he's not feeling well today. So we'll see him here in a few weeks at our next meeting. With that, I actually want to change the order a little bit. Todd, if we can have you do the legislative update. And for me personally, I wanted to be involved in a lot of these issues and ended up having tax reform in every waking minute. So appreciate any update you can give us on water issues during the session.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? There you go. So there was a whole list of water bills that were passed during the session, anywhere from in-stream flows to water supply and surplus, general water adjudication, water avalanche week. Some of these, I believe, have been signed by the governor, and some have not, at least that I could find out on the website. So what I'd like to do is hit probably two or three of the bills that you all have talked about prior to the legislative session or during or otherwise. So the one that we're really excited on is Secondary Water Metering Requirement, Senate Bill 52, fifth substitute. And it requires secondary water suppliers to, at one point in time, to become metered in 30 years. But right now, as the bill passed, basically they have to report the number of connections, the amount of water that is metered, those types of things, as well as provide or have the divisional or the Board of Water Resources provide $10 million a year in secondary metering. That was passed and signed by the governor.
So can you talk about that, the $10 million for secondary metering? Is that just from the existing?
That's from the existing.
C&D, Conservation Development Fund.
Absolutely.
Revenues.
Yep. And the board had a policy, had put a policy in place a couple of years ago. And you've got a board member up there, Juliet, to fund up to $3 million a year at 1% interest at 5 years less than the warranty on the meters.
And so the $10 million would be in loan funds?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rather than grants. Okay.
There was a dam safety amendment that modified some verbiage in the dams. We have some dam safety funding, $3.8 million that goes to dam safety funding. So we'll be watching that a little bit. And basically, that took some liability off of the state engineer. There's a couple concurrent resolutions on the Great Salt Lake and the Bear Lake that just recognize the importance of both those water bodies. There was a joint resolution supporting water banking, and that ultimately did pass. And in the budget, it gave the division $400,000 for a pilot project study, probably on the Bear and on Jordan River, I think. So we're still working on that and working towards that. A couple bills that didn't get through the process. There was one on water conservation plan amendments that had some specific numbers and some reporting components. That did not pass. Capitol Hill water use amendments required a 25% water reduction up on Capitol Hill. The committee didn't let that get out. I think Miranda was there and listened to that. So they kind of felt like that's something we ought to do otherwise rather than legislate it. And There was a water use amendments for institutions of higher education that attempted to treat them like culinary water providers, and there was some pushback on that from the state engineer, and they held that for discussion in the...
Do you remember whose bill that was?
That was Handy's bill, 456. And I think they were planning on studying that and looking at that in the water task force over the summer.
Okay.
Now, also in the budget, there was $90,000 to look at some more monitoring on the Logan River that came to the division as ongoing funds. $2.1 million in restricted funds from the C&D account to look at transparent water billing and water conservation efforts. And then the $400,000 on one-time water banking. That's where we're at. Any questions? Anything else I missed? Anybody else?
Any questions from members of the board? So I do want to follow up on a couple of those bills that there are discussions that we'll likely be involved in as a board in terms of conservation plans and kind of dealing with that issue. There was discussion with the League of Cities and Towns that we try to engage with them over the interim. So that's one of our potential study items. And then one of the other ones just related to Capitol Hill and replacing the building on Capitol Hill. So there will be continued and ongoing discussions, and at least potentially discussion of water could be part of that bigger discussion of what to do with Capitol Hill overall with replacement of the one building that's really old and kind of stands out a little bit compared to the more modern buildings. A couple other things that I just wanted to bring the board up to date on, and Todd or Joel or whoever else can, is if you want to jump in on these topics. So there's the water financing RFP that was, we've gone through the process. We have several of them out in different phases. There's the conservation goal, regional conservation goal one that's in process. There's the what I call a financing one, a component, a separate RFP, but related issues in elasticity RFP. So those were both have been awarded. We're still in final contracting phase. Is that right?
I think we've contracted one on the price elasticity.
On the elasticity one.
We're in the final contracting on the funding one or financing one.
So we're getting close on those, and as those move forward, I anticipate that the board will be involved in those discussions with those groups for the what I call the financing, but it's probably need to come up with better terminology. Ernst & Young is the contractor that was selected, and then Balmoral. For the elasticity study. So those are the groups that we'll be working with on those. Any other, like besides the session itself for these RFPs, any other issues out there that you want to highlight, Todd?
Well, we've got an audit, legislative audit look at financing for the local water, the local counties, local conservancy districts that they're reporting on, and we'll have a report. I don't know when, but they're working on it.
So yep.
So I've mostly been working with the districts. We've been answering a few questions, I believe, through Joel and his section. So.
Yeah, and I've been involved in those discussions. I think Julia has been involved in some of those discussions. So that's, I think, getting there too much. We'll see when it comes out.
Mr. Chair, I'm actually, this is a question that maybe you or Todd have some insight on. So I know a little bit about what the auditor is doing because I didn't come and just talk to him just to get some information, but how does what they're doing kind of, is it complementary to the Ernst & Young study? Is it different than that? It probably won't be as in-depth, do you know? I guess we'll see it when we see it.
But. Yeah, I mean, it's a different process. I think they want their own independent.
They usually do their own independent thing. And I will say they haven't really talked to me that much, just from some preliminary stuff. It sounds like they've talked to you, and I know they've talked to Joel. I don't know if they've hit down there and caught him. So.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see how
it ends up. And all they've been with the district.
Like, at least my sense is, I would guess the Ernst & Young one may be more in-depth than the legislative audit, but we'll, I guess we'll see what they come out with it. Okay. All right, any other issues to bring everyone current?
I didn't hear you mention this, maybe you did, I missed it, but there was also the $3 million that was appropriated to the Department of Agriculture for agriculture water efficiencies and optimization. So that's another one to be aware of. And I just think with all of these, I mean, this is kind of leading to the next agenda item, but where we have these different policy and funding shifts, it would be really good for our board to look into these and how they're being implemented and how it affects water use and demand.
And that ag water optimization group, it's okay. The ag water optimization group has been meeting, and they've put out some RFPs and some contracts to look at specifics of things that in their discussions on becoming more optimized, efficient, those types of things. I know there was appropriated $1.2 million from a couple different sources, two or three different sources to look at that. Those studies are still going on. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
There are a couple of items that were part of this year's legislative session that I believe were part of last year's that this would be the first year. They both have to do with better data, water use data. And so most water providers are now providing additional data on their state water rates report that I think match better to water use data. I know we went through that quite extensively this year. And then secondly, the source sizing requirements that was HB 303 last year were in effect, and some of the first entities, including Salt Lake City, just submitted on the source sizing reports. And so I think both of those things are going to improve the water use data that we have as well. We'll see that start trickling in more.
And ever since 2015 and 2016, when the data's been coming in, we've seen that. The data's coming in, and it's a lot better than it was.
So it's, and you mentioned the 2016 data. What is the, is that, like, I think everything I've looked at is 2015. Is that annually either reported, or will it be reported on the
annually reported, and they have it on their open water portal, open water data portal. And we've got 15, 16, and 17 now, right?
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Okay. Any other comments? All right. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So with that, I want to turn to the 2019 study topics, and I want to get input from the board members of things that we need to do. First of all, let me throw out my list of things that we need to address. We have the financing for major projects, conditions related to those. So we got, I think, partway through that discussion. We have some continued discussion to take place there. Another piece that I think we need to address, and it's, I know Laura and John Watson have met, figuring out better ways to involve cities, looking at, you know, impacts of zoning, looking at all these different issues, and finding ways to, from my viewpoint, either break down silos or to get better, not that there's no discussion that takes place, but to get better coordination, thinking at a more regional or statewide level on some of these issues. But yeah, I'd like to, this year in particular, I've had conversations with Cameron Deal to involve the league a lot more. This conservation plan issue that came up during session, I want to have that be part of that discussion. Laura, is there anything else you want to add to that on the municipal side?
No, I do believe that working closely with the league is good. And John Bronson and I actually took a trip down to St. George last fall and met with many of the cities within the Washington County Water Conservancy District area. We brought representatives from the League of Cities and Towns, and it just underscored the need for us to be working more closely with the league.
Okay.
and the other cities.
Yeah. And I know Evan, you know, last year raised issues, you know, from the planning side with your background there related to how can we overcome some of the obstacles that are there of getting water more centrally discussed in the issues related to zoning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about some of the issues around these being somewhat siloed. And as we've talked with both planners and water managers, it seems like most feel that we could do a better job of integrating those and having those conversations at the outset, because it really is going to have a big impact, especially on our inland water supplies.
Thank you. So the other thing I have on my agenda that we've talked about a little bit here, but it came up in the conversation, tax reform broadly, that the state needs to modernize its tax structure. That has implications in a lot of different areas. You know, as I look at the state budget and its ability to finance some of the things that we're talking about here, we have a lot of very significant constraints that I think it's going to be very challenging to do unless we address our fundamental structure of we have these constraints with our general fund that's funded by sales tax, that has a tax base that's narrowing relative to the economy, so it doesn't pace with the economy. An income tax that's constitutionally earmarked for education, so can't be used for these things. How do we rebalance that? How do we get the state to state general fund in particular to a way where it's sustainable long term? So there's a lot of discussion, a lot of work on that issue in a broad sense. But then there's also one of the things that was in the bill was putting a sales tax on water. And so there, I think, some like general broad discussion parameters of that, but then there are also some more water-specific impacts that were at least House Bill 441 was the bill, but that were included as part of that discussion. So I think this would be something useful for us to help and provide insight and to even potentially make recommendations as part of that effort. All right, so with that, we're going to open it up to the board. What are some of the things that aren't on that list there that we need to be thinking about and discussing during this coming year? Yeah.
In October 2018, there was an update to the America's Water Infrastructure Act, and there are a number of water infrastructure financing pieces to that I think it would be helpful for this board to understand, and maybe that's a presentation from the folks handling the state revolving fund for the state. There may be more opportunities and favorable conditions with SRF funding in the future, and for instance an extension of the payback. The time of payback starts after completion of a project has been extended, and those types of things. I think that would be good, just another general look at that and RFIA funding, the suite of federal opportunities seem to be evolving.
If I could just follow up on that, I know that Treasurer Damson and John Bronson met with EPA folks, and I'm trying to remember, was it last year or end of the year before? I've actually met since our last meeting with someone else at EPA, and had met earlier in the year in 2018 with another person that oversees the projects at EPA. And I'd say there's this is one of the areas, it seems like, a very significant agreement at the national level. One of their things was saying when we're asking for how much money we're trying to get from Congress for WIFIA in this example, they said, we don't know if we're going to have enough projects to spend all of our money. And I told them, well, we have some. Don't worry about that. But it's, I think that's feedback that I gave them, and I think they need to hear that there are a lot of projects. Some of them are going to take a couple of years to get to that point. But there's, I'd say, pretty broad bipartisan consensus on the direction of water, which is one of the few things. You know, that each of the last several years, both proposed and adopted budgets have included increases for WIFIA and and for other other water programs. So as much as the federal government's definitely stepped back from where it was, say historically 50 years ago or whatever, I also think it's not accurate to say that the federal government is completely out of the water financing business, because they're not. And I think those are things that, that we need to very much look at and explore and vet at the state level to leverage those sorts of things.
I have one more.
Yes,
please. That's okay. So a topic that comes up here a lot too are the subject of water rates and how water rates are used to incentivize conservation or other behaviors. As I look forward to probably about $1 billion of infrastructure needs just for my system in the next 5 to 10 years, and what that does to water rates, I have a lot of concern about affordability. But there's not great data out there right now about what constitutes affordability in water rates, and that's something that I think this board could also evaluate. And I don't know if that's something in one of the RFPs that might be in process as well, but it's becoming a much larger issue, and I just see it becoming larger in the next few years.
Okay, yeah, I definitely think that's that should be part of the discussion, and I think there are a number of different ways, some, in my view, maybe too simplistic, and others that, that are more nuanced, and we need to get to that more nuanced level in thinking about what does affordability mean and what does it mean at different levels of water use, because I'm much more concerned about affordability at basic levels of water use than I am at high levels of water use. So, okay, other thoughts or topics you'd like to have us look at this year?
To follow up on my earlier point, I think it would be good that we continue to have follow-up discussions on some of the interventions that we've already been trying based on past year's funding, such as the smart irrigation timers, and then some of the things that passed during this session, just so we can see how are these working, and is this something we need to do more of, less of, how do we adjust our strategy going forward. And then second thing, two other related items, would be, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it yet, Phil, is institutional water use. We talked a little bit about Capitol Hill, but I just think in general that's one that we've been talking about a lot. We talked about doing an institutional water use summit. It's a big topic. It comes up continuously, and I think we can get some better information and data and understanding around this issue. That would be very helpful. And then also on a related issue, just some more understanding as we're talking through tax reform, just a better understanding of how the property tax issue is related to it. And also with that, I mean, I think the key concern is with loans, to what extent do we need to have those tax rates in place and such.
Okay, yeah, and I anticipate that's probably part of the financing discussion overall for major projects. I think there's also kind of a broader issue, even separate from that. And I do think the other pieces, I do think we should start thinking about for the smaller projects. Like, I don't think everything that applies to these bid projects should necessarily apply, but I think there are some of the conditions or the issues that we've talked about that probably should apply for the small project funds as well as to the major project funds. So I think that's something that we should vet as well. Okay, any other thoughts or comments? All right, so with that, I saw Chris walk in. Do you know if Fred, I heard that he got delayed a little bit.
I tried to call him just a moment ago and he wasn't answering. So I don't know what that means. I'll step out and try to call him again.
Does anyone else have anything they want to raise here initially? Please. If you just state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Zach Frankel. I'm the executive director of the Utah Rivers Council. So nice to see you all today. I'm grateful for your time and appreciate the opportunity speak to you guys. I'm psyched that you are meeting again because you are one of the more honest committees that meets to discuss water, which I appreciate. You're very honest, which I really love. And that's what brought me to the microphone today, having spent a lot of time in the legislative session, seeing direct opposition to water conservation and free market economics around water. We're really looking for this honest conversation to happen this summer. I think that it's easy to put forth water conservation marketing and to talk about how great water conservation is. It's easy to do an advertising campaign or do a public workshop to talk about water conservation, but if you don't embrace meaningful policy around water conservation, it turns into greenwashing. And so HB 143 is a good example of that. It's a really simple Water Conservation Plan Act amendment, and there was vehement opposition to even just asking cities how much they could reduce their water use, just even asking the question. And so I think that there needs to be some agenda time spent discussing the opposition to water conservation. The water conservation discussions are always, that I've seen, are always predicated on this idea that we all agree that we should conserve water. But in practice, there's actually a lot of opposition to it. And it makes sense. If you're running an agency that sells water for its operations and water sales are reduced, it creates a financial challenge, as Laura can attest to. It's really challenging to put water suppliers in a position of having to restrict their revenues and still maintain the same levels of service and replace infrastructure as needed. And that's a challenge. And that's a really complicated conversation. And I haven't seen this body yet deconstruct that. And it's really, really important, and it's related to the property tax issue. If a local community, group of cities, or a water supplier is burdened with billions of dollars of debt, then water conservation becomes very, very impossible. You can't service debt if you can't sell water. So the water conservation needs to be first, but unfortunately we've seen a lot of smoke screens about water conservation, and we'd like to have a conversation about that. I'd love to be able to present some specific examples of opposition to water conservation to deconstruct the conversation about it. It's important to be clear about who really wants to conserve water and who doesn't. If you think about it, were you a lobbyist trying to convince a legislator that you need money for an infrastructure project, you need water use to be high to justify that expenditure? And lowering water use is a threat to that. So I think there needs to be a conversation about it instead of just we're all on the same water conservation team and putting pom-poms in the air. It's a challenge. It's no different than walking into Questar and saying we need to sell electricity today, or Rocky Mountain Power and saying we need to sell less natural gas. It's a very big challenge for those commodity providers to sell less of their product. And the Public Services Commission sort of starts the discussion with that step, acknowledging that we can't just restrict the sales of those commodities and still maintain operations. So it's a challenge. But we need to have some transparency about it, because the problem that we see in this water conservation space is the public is being fooled into believing that Utah is very conscientious about saving water. And there are definitely some success stories of local water suppliers who do a fantastic job of working to conserve water, but there's also some players that are disinterested in it, and it's hard for the public to tell. And so I think this committee can do a really good job without casting any aspersions or pointing any fingers, of just delineating how demand management works for reducing water demand without jeopardizing infrastructure and operations spending. So with that, I conclude my comments, unless anybody has any questions. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate that, the comment. The one thing that I'd like to highlight as part of that discussion, I'm very open to the discussion, first of all, about the incentives. But I don't want this to devolve into a just casting aspersions back and forth. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that's useful. I don't think it's productive to the process. That being said, I do think an issue-based conversation related to incentive structures, related to price elasticity of demand, I think those things are very legitimate, and I'm happy to have discussions related to that. But I, at the same time, don't want it to just be an accusations back and forth kind of thing. Is that fair?
That's totally fair. We certainly don't want to, you know, have any kind of a mud dragging situation. Yeah. It's just, it's hard for us because when we put HB 143 out there, we recruited support from some individuals that are prominent in the water industry, and they adamantly oppose its passage. And it'd be one thing if it was, the bill was a mandate to force water suppliers to reduce their water use, but it's just a question in planning to ask what would be required to reduce water use to 175, and we couldn't even get it out of committee. And there were a lot of legislators that were shocked and amazed that we couldn't get an essentially optional amendment. So I'm not interested in personally in you know, criticizing any individuals, which is why I'm keeping it all anonymous. But I just, it's difficult when you see opposition to water conservation, and then 6 months later, when the sun comes out, suddenly everybody's supposedly working to conserve water. And I think there needs to be some standards, some target goals, maybe, of what would be a reasonable water use and how it would be achieved in Utah for municipal industry.
Yep, and I'm very open to that conversation of what those should be, and what is it that we should be working toward. And again, especially for me, just, I guess it's my background, but I'm very interested in how market mechanisms can get us to that, right? How do we use pricing of water to reflect the true cost of that water? Mm-hmm. So, and how can we, I don't think we're there. I think we're partway there, maybe you say it that way. I don't think we're there completely. I think there's some additional movement that needs to take place to better reflect true market prices to get people to make those decisions. Okay, thank you for your comments. Have you heard back from Fred?
Yes, I just talked with him. The tires changed, but he's still a ways out. So okay. My suggestion would be that if you completed the rest of your agenda, that maybe you reschedule. And I apologize, Lester.
Okay.
Not too much to do.
So is there anyone else that was here to speak on that, on the topic of credit enhancement? This came up in our, I think, last meeting, either last meeting or next about some ideas that Fred had related to using credit enhancements rather than the state. You know, to me, to the extent it's possible to do that, I think it creates some interesting opportunities to leverage state dollars in different ways than with someone else acting as the bank as opposed to the state acting as the bank. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. That as I understand, I think we have some constitutional restraints that we need to figure out or work around or propose amending the Constitution, I guess. So I mean, that was one of the things I'm most interested in, so maybe if you can convey that to Fred to just help us understand how he thinks we can deal with or manage that aspect of it. But any other thoughts for folks? Yeah, Laura?
I just also had a thought, some of the study topics that we have may also be good topics to get input from the members of the Utah Water Task Force. I thought about that during the session when I saw the sales tax on water, and many of us in the water industry were trying to wrap our heads around what that would do to our ability to raise rates to pay for infrastructure, and it's a very complicated issue, and so that was one of the topics that I thought getting some input from the Utah Water Task Force might be helpful.
Okay. Okay. Well, any other thoughts with that? And you think, how long do you think, how far away is Fred, do you think? Like, is it a half hour thing or is it an hour thing?
Yeah, I don't know. when I talked with him, he said he has tires. changed, and he didn't know whether to come in. I said, I thought that you were ready to, but that was the last thing on your agenda, and you wouldn't want him to be waiting. So I don't think he's en route right now, because it's probably, it would be at least, would have been at least 40 minutes from that time.
Where he was at, okay. All right, well, with that, unless anyone has anything else, happy to entertain a motion to adjourn. This might be our shortest meeting ever.
Maybe. Yeah. Move to adjourn.
With that, Eric moves to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. And we'll come back to that issue at a future meeting.